They were ordinary men going about their jobs as railroad attendants, making beds, shining shoes, and cooking and serving meals. In the process, they achieved something extraordinary. They blazed a path for the rise of the black middle class and helped propel the civil rights movement in America.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. In 1879, George Pullman, the man who gave America the luxurious Pullman rail car, built his factory and America's first company town on the far south side of Chicago. It was here that he employed freed blacks to work as porters on the railroad line, battled workers involved in the Pullman strike of 1894, and ultimately provided upward economic and social mobility for many Chicagoans. A fire destroyed the clock tower and several nearby buildings in 1998. In 1999, the National Trust for Historic Preservation placed the Pullman Historic District on a list of most endangered historic places to raise awareness about the threats facing America's historical sites. This past Thursday, President Obama was in Chicago to dedicate the site, and the man who covered it all for WGN Radio was none other than Dave Schwann. Good morning to you, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Thank you so much for coming in early today.
Oh, my
today.
Pleasure. This is my kind of story. It really is. This is something where it's always interesting, it's fun, and you come away learning something and really being inspired by what happened, not just by the designation of this as a national monument, the first time that's ever happened in our city.
That's pretty cool.
But also, when you go down to the Pullman area, we'll talk about this here as we go on, the dedication that those people have there, that live there, is just really something to see in and of itself.
Well, give us a little, I just touched upon it a little bit, give us a little history about the Pullman District.
Well, what you were off to a good start about how George Pullman built that area. He wanted his own town and got it, actually. Technically, when that was laid out in the 1880s, it was not part of the city of Chicago. It was Pullman, and it was a place on the prairie to get away from the city. But his idea was to have a place where his workers could not only do their jobs, they would be employed there, but they would live there. And the houses would be a block or two from the factory. There would be stores. There would be churches. There would be schools. There was all of that. There was also a very nice hotel, the Florence Hotel, or Hotel Florence, mm-hmm. which was named for his daughter. He always said she was his favorite daughter. I don't know how that made his
how
other
do
kids
you do that.
Yeah, yeah, but that's
no
what
kidding.
He said. Yeah,
Florence
Pullman was his favorite daughter. But the hotel was set up for visitors, guests, business associates. And for a while, things were moving along quite well there. It was kind of a utopia, as it were.
It was. It was. But you know what? At the same time, these folks were working sometimes 48-hour shifts. They were working tirelessly to serve the community and the people riding the rails and so forth. And so, you know, they didn't really have the opportunity to go out and shop and do it. It was nice to have everything right there. But that's kind of the way Pullman set that whole thing up.
Yeah, it's where people would be able to stay. Keep in mind, transportation wasn't what it is today, where you could hop in the car or
sure.
take the L and get to a store or go someplace else like that. And also, workers, I guess you could say, were being a little more dissatisfied with the way things were going, especially when George Pullman raised rents but did not raise salaries.
Yeah.
And there were other things involved with that, but refused to negotiate with the workers. And then in 1894, things came to a head with a strike, something that, you know, was the worst fear of a George Pullman or a Marshall Field back then.
Sure.
You know, they didn't want their workers getting out of line,
yeah,
as
yeah.
it were, you know, in their minds.
Well, they wanted to manage it and control it all, of course.
Yeah. And there was a strike in 1894 at Pullman that spread nationwide all over the country. And in order to, you know, stop things from getting out of hand and things getting worse and getting people back to work, things were settled. And very, very quickly, Congress and President Grover Cleveland established what we now call Labor Day. So the roots of our Labor Day holiday in September began on the south side of Chicago.
And there was obviously the movement to name this a historical landmark, which is what happened and what you covered on Thursday.
It's going to be a big boost to that area because, as you mentioned, Dave, in your opening remarks, the fire there in 1998 did a lot of damage to what was the administration building. And I'll tell you, 100 years ago, if you can see pictures of that administration building, it was beautiful, absolutely striking.
It does look a little more modern now. It's kind of disappointing what happened, you know.
Yeah, and you know, the work there, the actual manufacturer of the cars, palace cars and rail cars, was stopped, I believe, in the 1940s. I think Mike Wagenbach, who's the director down there, said 1943.
Wow.
When they stopped it. So, you know, things started to deteriorate, as it were. But what is interesting is that the row houses and other houses that were built for the Pullman area are still there. And I want to play you a cut. I talked with a neighbor, or rather a resident down there, Dee Smith, on Tuesday, who her enthusiasm is indicative of a lot of people down there. Let's listen to what Dee Smith said. She's lived there 4 years.
What brought you to the area?
It was actually by accident. I found a house and was blown away by the whole neighborhood. And what's interesting about this neighborhood is it's more like a community of people who really look after each other. It's very different from living, let's say, where I used to live in Bucktown. And down here, everyone tends to communicate and care. And it's a racially diverse neighborhood, which is a wonderful change from what I'm accustomed to.
In other words, community.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just a cut of what Dee Smith told us when we were there.
Very cool. I pulled a clip just because I found this fascinating from a History Channel special. This is from retired Pullman porter Herman Simmons. Let's take a listen.
Oh, yeah.
We know all the Pullman porters that lived in the neighborhoods were living a good life. A lot of them were buying their homes. All of them had cars. And they seemed to be different from the rest of the neighborhood. So we decided an image for us that we wanted to kind of be like them. Being black, you couldn't get decent jobs anyhow, you know. And that seemed to be the only, well, at that time, we thought it was a decent job.
Although porters were respected in their community. So that's a little clip of that as well.
The porters, Dave, what became the Pullman Porters Union, so to speak, was started in 1925. A. Philip Randolph was the more or less the leader of that, where, you know, they could unite, get collective bargaining. President Obama more than alluded to what happened there. He directly commented and gave us a wonderful background about the first meeting of the Pullman Porters and A. Philip Randolph addressing that meeting, saying that you are the masters of your fate. And fast forward some years later to 1963 and the March on Washington, A. Philip Randolph was the first speaker the March on Washington before Martin Luther King gave, you know, the I Have a Dream.
Yeah.
Man, can I play a quick cut here with the president talking about not only that, but talking about his roots and his family's roots? Listen to this.
It's why we have to keep fighting to treat these issues like the economic priorities they are, but they're also ideas about justice and fairness and the worth of every individual. That's the story of this place. That together we can do great things that we cannot accomplish alone. That's why today I'm designating Chicago's Pullman District as America's newest national monument. I want this younger generation, I want future generations to come learn about their past. Because I guarantee you, there are a lot of young people right here in Chicago, just a few blocks away, living in this neighborhood who may not know that history. I want future generations to know that while the Pullman Porters helped push forward our rights to vote and to work and to live as equals, their legacy goes beyond even that. That these men and women, without rank, without wealth or title, became the bedrock of a new middle class. These men and women gave their children and grandchildren opportunities they never had. Here in Chicago, one of those Porters' great-granddaughter had the chance to go to a great college and a great law school and had the chance to work for the mayor and had the chance to climb the ladder of success and serve as a leader in some of our city's most important institutions. And I know that because today she's the First Lady of the United States of America, Michelle Obama. So without this place, Michelle wouldn't be where she was.
Wow,
that's
great story.
just a clip of his connections to Pullman and Michelle Obama's connections to the neighborhood and to American history.
Wonderful and wonderful reporting, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As the resident, Dee Smith, indicated here, the thing that people are most excited about is now they have a partner with the National Park Service that can maintain and preserve that story down there. As she said very well, the stories will continue. And believe me, this is an ongoing story. It's
very cool.
Marvelous, marvelous piece of our history.
Well, we'll stay tuned. See what's next.
Okay, Dave.
Absolutely, Dave. Well, I'll tell you what, you will be back.
I've got just enough time to get some more coffee.
Go get some coffee. We'll do This Week in History next on 720 WGN.